Love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. And consider today, since I am not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of the Lord your God and his outstretched arm, his signs and his deeds that he did in Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea flow over them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, and what he did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that followed them in the midst of all Israel. For your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord that he did. And then verse 18 through 21. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. And then let us go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. And we're going to read verses 1 through verse 4. A very familiar passage of scripture. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The grass of the field withers and the flower fades, but this the word of our God abides forever. And we, the body of Christ, say, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for what we have heard in these two scriptures. We thank you for your word. Your word is a light to our path as individual Christians, a light to our path in our marriage, but also a light to our path in how we do family and how we raise our children for you and how our children are to respond to us as parents. Thank you that Christ, you are Lord, even of our family. Bless us now as we study these passages, as the word is preached, and as we prepare for baptism. May you grant us grace, illumination, and help for your glory and the good of our children after us unto a thousand generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congregation of the Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, over all things. The book of Ephesians brings this out in many, many ways. Actually, Christ's lordship is mentioned no less than 25 times in this small letter that Paul wrote by inspiration so many years ago. Jesus, our Lord, is ruler over the world, ruler over all governments. He is ruler over all humans, over all demons, over all principalities and powers. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is now ruling and reigning until he has put all his enemies under his feet. He is the King of our everyday lives, calling all of us as his people to be imitators of God, to follow in the steps of our Lord and King. And our Savior Jesus is King in the family, who has made it clear that our homes be gospel, Christ-loving, Spirit-filled places. Now we, today, need to be reminded of this. Let's be honest, we in the church struggle with many of the same things that the world struggles with. even in our families. Children, young people, you are here this morning together with your parents. Listen to me. You wrestle with selfishness. And you wrestle with its cousin, anger, when you don't get what you want. You, children, you struggle with anxieties, with worries. Sometimes you find it very difficult to be at peace. And some of you even have difficulty sitting still because sometimes your mind is racing. Parents, we struggle with stress in our families, in our marriages, with our parenting, and we struggle with consistency. And perhaps, and this might be especially true with new Christians who grew up in the world, that we do not love God's gift of family as God does. Our default is to love self and our comfort and our dreams. Our default is not to have a vision of family, marriage, and children as God portrays it in His Word. And so, parents, we struggle with selfishness too, and its cousin, anger, when the kids take too much of our time and we blow up. But my friends, oh Christian church, our Father never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is a God of all grace to come and bring you His good news and bring you His Word. And so He comes to you, His people, in this scripture in Ephesians this morning and in the sacrament of baptism to remind you to do family in Christ, to do family as imitators and image bearers of God. So let's receive the gospel this morning. Let's receive the good news. First of all, children, receive the gospel this morning. Children, Jesus is your Lord. The Bible says this very clearly, and you have heard me say it before to you as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Children, Jesus is your Lord. Paul the Apostle includes you as members of Christ's church. You, children, are a member of this local assembly of Jesus, the body of Christ. You see, children of believing fathers or mothers are members of the covenant community of Jesus. We find this throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament church, in Genesis chapter number 17, God came to our father Abraham. This is what He said to our father Abraham in chapter 17, verse 6. God says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your offspring, to your children after you. See, you, children, are included in the covenant people of God. Now remember the Exodus, children, when God delivered the children of Israel, the Old Testament church, out of Egypt. Well, you see, the children were not left behind. Your parents don't leave you behind when they come to church. They don't say to you, oh, you stay at home. You can watch TV or listen to music, whatever you want to do. We're going to go to church. Mom and I are going to go to church. No, no, they don't do that. God's church has never done that. We bring our children along. You remember in Exodus chapter number 10, verse 9, there Moses said to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh said to him, you know, you can go, just you and your men. And then Moses replied this. He said in Exodus 10, verse 9, we will go with our young and with our old. We will go with our sons and daughters and with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Oh, that's a Christian home where dads and moms, you say to your children, children, let's go. We're going to hold a feast to the Lord. We're coming to church. No ifs, ands, or buts. We are the Lord's people, and God has included you in the covenant community. Children, the Lord has promised to be your God. Jesus said to you, of such is the kingdom of God. Children, infants, toddlers, teenagers, of such is the kingdom of God. And when Paul began this letter, he addressed every member, man, woman, and child, as the saint. God sees the children of believers as part of Christ's church. Well, children, saints, members of Christ's church, you are to obey your parents in the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians, for this is right. Notice, children, it says, you are to obey. The word obey is made up of the word under and hearing. Literally, it means to listen under. As Erskine Hughes put it, obedience includes conscious listening. If you do not really listen to your parents, you cannot really obey your mom and dad. And this is why parents are always saying to you, listen to me. Listen to me. Not just that you hear what they say, but that you hear what they say with the intent to obey. You understand what they're saying, and children, in the Lord, you purpose to do what they ask you to do. And that brings me, secondly, to this, that you are to obey in the Lord. You know, here's the gospel, boys and girls, teens. Through Christ's work, that is, through his life, through his cross, and through his resurrection, forgiveness of sin and salvation comes to all of God's people. The Holy Spirit of God gives God's people the new birth, and then as he gives them the new birth, they receive the gift of faith and the gift of repentance to trust in Christ by faith. Well, this new birth was promised and signified to you at your baptism. You receive this forgiveness and new life by faith every day. See, God's sign is upon you. You are God's baptized child. The promise is to you. And now you are believing that promise. And you are growing in that promise. That is, you are growing in that faith. And some of you here today, you have a 2-year-old faith. You have a 5-year-old faith. You have a 7-year-old faith. Or a 13-year-old faith and so on. But still, it is faith in the Lord. And so in this faith, children, in Christ, you are to obey. So you are to obey in the Lord. And then thirdly, for this is right. That is, it is God's will. It is God's way. This is God's righteous design, his template for a family of life, his template for family life, a family life of love and order. Now, listen to me, children. I've been in some of your homes, and I've watched some of you play with your Lego or with your building blocks. And you have started from the ground up, and then your brother or your sister came and wanted to help you build, and then you said, no, 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 that's the wrong way. No, 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 you have to do it this way first, then this way first, then that way first. So, in other words, there's an order when you play. There's an order when you build Lego. There's an order when you build or play with your building blocks and so on. Well, God has an order. This morning, the birds are singing. The trees are here. There is the sky, the wind, the sun, the clouds. There are the animals. God's world has order. And in the family, God gives you an order. The father is the head of the home. The wife is to submit to her husband. And you, children, you are to be under your parents and obey them, for this is right. Now, if you go out of that order, then you have trouble in your family, screaming and yelling. And your parents might have to discipline you because you went against the order. My point is, children, this is right. It's right for you to obey your mom and dad. There is an order in nature ordained of God. And when that order is followed, then in our relationships, then there is peace and harmony and joy in our marriages, in life in the church, and in life in the family as well. In a nutshell, we have this told to us in verse 2. Honor your parents. Children, obey your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. There it is. So to honor your parents is to respect and listen to your parents, to obey them. It's to approve of them for who they are and the role that God has given to them. Listen to what Proverbs says to you, children. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And you know, this commandment comes with a promise. You notice it says there in Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. When you honor your father and mother, to love them and respect them and obey them, here is a promise that you will live a longer and a happier life. Now, as one commentary put it, the fact is, people who grow up in happy homes, who learn to obey cheerfully their mom and dad, whose characters are formed by love and discipline, do as a rule live happy lives, happier than those who grow up with a rebellious and dissatisfied spirit. Yes, God has made us and the world that way. A young person who grows up learning the virtues of hard work will do better in life than the young person who grows up lazy. The child and young person who learns self-control, to not get angry, to not speak back against their mom and dad, or to hit their mom and dad. The child or young person who obeys or who learns this self-control will be more skilled at saying no to sin and no to the flesh and no to drugs and no to drinking and so on. And the child or young person who obeys and honors his or her parents will have self-control because he has learned to listen and follow his parents and the Lord. This life of faith, hard work, and self-control is more likely to bring a long and happy life, generally speaking. As the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And also, as the Bible says, but in keeping the commandments of God, there is great reward. So Paul's statement in verse 3, his promise of a long and happy life to children who obey their parents, is true in general. A child, a toddler, a baby, a teen, is known by her or his actions. And one action, children, that reveals your love for Jesus and your trust in Jesus is your obedience to your parents. Children of God, I mean little children of God, honor your parents. Believe upon the Lord today. And obey your mom and dad in the Lord, for this is right, and you will receive many blessings and joy in life. So, children, Jesus is your Lord, But fathers, Jesus is your Lord too. So we come now to the fathers. And it's interesting the way Paul writes this sentence here. He directly speaks to fathers. He has dads in mind. If he wanted to refer to both parents, he would have used the word for parent that he just used in verse 1. He doesn't do that. Rather, he zeroes in on fathers. You see, fathers, they're the managers of their home. They're the leaders of their home. And fathers, the leadership of your home rests on your shoulders. Of course, mothers have an equal role in raising the children. We know that from the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." But men is, Paul addresses you here specifically in this text. Why? Well, remember the context. In pagan Rome, the time of writing in Ephesians, fathers were cruel and dictatorial. And when those men came to Jesus Christ, they were now new people. They now had a new life, and now they had a new way in their family, the gospel way, the Christ way, and Paul addresses it here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now today, men, we don't live in Rome. But today, fathers struggle too. Maybe you struggle with being responsible, but actually taking the leadership in your home. Perhaps you find it easy to relinquish. The world finds it easy to relinquish their responsibility. That is, the men in the world find it easy to just leave the family. And you know, fathers today are often angry and find it hard to lead. And so, men, this scripture is for you. We are Christians. And so, being Christians, we now have a new way. Now, men, please, please remember it's the gospel way. Don't forget the context. Ephesians 6 comes right after Ephesians 5, where God has spoken to us of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, and we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to yield to the Holy Spirit of power, who helps us to live out the new life that God has given to us in the Savior. So, men, you are not alone as Christians. The Holy Spirit is with you to help you live out Ephesians 6. Men, the Lord says to you, do not bring your children to anger. We can bring them to anger in two ways, and both are connected. And so we need the Holy Spirit's guidance and understanding in our lives and power to help us now, this morning, to put off the old man and to put on the new and recognize, okay, we're not supposed to make our children to be angry, so I need help, God. What are you saying to me? Well, let me help you. There are two ways that we can make our children angry, and both of them are connected. One is that we can be callous or really uncaring. And two, we can be Christless. Let's look at the first one, being callous or uncaring. You know, it's terrible to describe the injustices of many fathers in Rome. We have many extant manuscripts that can help us to understand how fathers treated their newborn daughters and how fathers often treated their sons. Children had no rights back then, and often had a bitter and troubled life, only to repeat their father's crimes. It is likewise terrible to describe the callousness of dads today who abandon their children, or who, in their selfishness, treat their children badly. But this all begins to change for men who have Christ. Paul says, in effect, now in Jesus, you are to father without anger and callousness. After all, was it not the father instructing his son in Proverbs who said, "Son, make no friends with an angry man, or you will be angry like him, and wrath is cruel and anger overwhelming." You see, all relationships are now redefined for us, brothers, in Jesus Christ. Brothers, all relationships are now redefined for us in Jesus. Being a Christian husband makes us different, a different kind of husband, a godly husband. And then being a Christian makes us different fathers too. Remember, now, fathers, your children have an identity. Your children have a standing before God. They belong to Jesus. They have God's name upon them. And Paul now insists on a mutual responsibility, dads, between you and your children. It's not only children who are to obey and honor their father, but now fathers are to obey and honor Christ, and obey and honor the Father, and be like Christ to their children, because their children are the Lord's. Your children, Christian men, are the Lord's. And one thing that this means is that because they are the Lord's, you are not to exasperate them to anger by being unkind, by being callous. And how does this show itself, men? Well, you can be callous in this way, that you have such unreasonable rules in your home. Such unreasonable rules in your home that sooner or later your children will quit your home. You know, we all can connect with this. If there's a bank that is unreasonable, has too many charges, if it has too long of a waiting line, if they never give us any kind of service whatsoever, if they never want to talk to us, what do we do? Well, we go someplace else because they have unreasonable service. Secondly, your callousness can show itself in this way, that you have no rules at all, that you never lead your children, that you never discipline them, that you never have standards for them. You're just a permissive parent. You know what this will produce? This will produce anger in your children. Because your children, especially when they're young, they need servant leadership. They need someone to teach them the truth, and love, and guidance. Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but discipline drives it far from them. You know, if you have no rules, sooner or later, your children will realize that you never taught them Christ-like character. And then what you will see is that it gets them into trouble. And then they will say, "You know, Dad never loved me because he never taught me." And sometimes we do teach our children, and sometimes our children do sin, and we have to be gracious towards that. And sometimes our children say, "Yep, my dad taught me this, but I wouldn't listen." But there's grace in that. When they come back as a prodigal son, knowing that their father loved them and had standards, biblical standards. And then thirdly, callousness can come out in this way, but by your constant nagging, your constant condemnation. You know, your children are never good enough. Is that your attitude? My kids are never good enough. Fathers, we must remember that we are fathers in Christ. As in all relationships, anger is out and nurturing is in. Concern for the anger of children is highlighted here in God's Word. Why? Because of the destruction that anger causes. Too often, children are the targets for our hostility and frustrations. And what are we doing when we provoke them? Well, we are showing a wrong example of God before them. We are not giving them a good taste of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we're actually destroying ourselves. And then in the end, who will stand with us? So we're not to provoke our children to wrath by our callousness, our uncaring attitude. But the second way that we can provoke our children to anger is by Christlessness. If you are callous or unkind, you're also not going to be bent and purposeful in love and in grace and patience and in long-suffering and merciful and mercy to bring them to Jesus. And this is a great sin in all of our lives if we live this way as parents, when we do not bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we do not bring our children to the gospel by our life and by our instructions, it will make them angry. If not in this life, then in the next. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the perfect blessing. And every human soul desires happiness, to live a happy life. And that often gets twisted due to our sin. That's true. But that's why our children have parents, to show them that true happiness is not in self-fulfillment. True happiness is in God. And in Him we find true fulfillment. Jesus is the perfect happiness for all of our children. And we must not take Him away from them. The happiness of our children, you know, is not having lots of money. It's not having a career per se. It's not being able to be as promiscuous as you want to be. Happiness, you know, is God. And we are called to bring them up in the happiness of God, which is why God says to us, nurture them in the Lord. Do not provoke your children into wrath, but nurture them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture them to know Jesus as King. Now, the church of the Old Testament has always told parents to train and grow their children to love and serve the true God. We read of this in Deuteronomy 6, but also in Deuteronomy 11. And here, Paul applies those principles to fathers in Christ. Fathers in Christ are to nurture. That is, they're to padaya. That means that they are to cultivate their children. That is, that they're to grow, in one sense, a new culture. It's not a new culture, but a different culture in their children than the world. You're not to teach your children worldliness or worldly culture. You're to teach your children a culture of Christ Jesus the Lord. In the discipline, that is, in the life of Christ. We're to instruct them in the word of Christ. That is, our children's lives are to be patterned after the life of Jesus. Our children's minds are to be instructed after the mind and knowledge of Jesus. Bring them up. Bring them in this culture. Cultivate them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture your children to hope in the triumph of God. You hope in it, don't you? You know, Jesus is raised from the dead. He is our Savior. He is now ruling, bringing in His kingdom, bringing peace to this world through His gospel. Nurture your children in the risen Lord. Nurture them to find their place and gifts in the cause of Jesus now. You are finding your place and your gifts in the cause of Jesus now. Train this in your children. Nurture your children to pray, pray, and pray. Nurture them to enjoy all things good and holy here in Jesus' name. Nurture them to enjoy a glass of wine unto the Lord. Nurture them to enjoy food unto the Lord. Nurture them to enjoy family unto the Lord. Nurture them to enjoy creation unto the Lord, so that they learn self-discipline and not overindulge, so that they learn that all that they do is to be unto the glory of God. nurture them to know that they are married to the Lord, that they belong to the bridegroom, and nurture them in good works. Parents, teach them, dads particularly, teach them to get their hands full of love to others in the King's name. Men, families are a great place to nurture Christian living. And you are not alone in this task. You have Christ's Spirit to aid you. So live for the Lord. It's God's will to use you as a tool to bring your children to their greatest good, God, so that they might set their hope in God, that they might teach their children unto a thousand generations. Live like God with mercy. Men, live like God with kindness and patience and truth, a firmness that has love in it and truth in it. That is hard, that's true, but practice it, pray about it, that you become a rock to your children in humility, with grace in your hearts, always bringing them to the Lord and eternal life. And so that when your children remember their dads, that they remember a man who was merciful, kind, patient, and firm. He held on to Jesus no matter what. And so that when their children might stray or might struggle with the faith, when they're older or in life, that they'll remember, yeah, I remember Dad. He stood firm in the gospel. And then I close. Children, your father and mother have been given to you by God. Honor them. They are God's gift to you. He promised the gospel to you, children. And so today, believe the gospel that your parents are teaching you. And then you will know happiness forever. Amen. Let us pray.